Beautiful. Ultimate date night.
Woo.
What do you think, honey? The ultimate date night. You want to go? You want to hear what they got to say? You mean you haven't been on the ultimate date night with me yet? Okay, if that's the way you feel, then all right, I got you. I'm just messing. Sounds pretty extraordinary. One other announcement that wasn't up there. On September 10th, 11th, and 12th, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a week from this coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The sanctuary will be open from noon to 7 o'clock for time of prayer. This is a really important part of the season that we're in, where big change is taking place. September, back to school, all kinds of stuff going on. And what a great way to enter in and engage into that season. And I felt this last week that the Lord would lay on somebody's heart that would want to stay here all 3 days and that whole time. You just camp right out here. For some of you, that's impossible to do. I understand that. But maybe you could come in for an hour each day or a couple hours. Or maybe you'd like to come in, even if you could come in for a few minutes. The sanctuary will be open. There will be an atmosphere in here for prayer. And I believe the Lord will meet you in a beautiful and in a great way and answer some questions for you, confirm some things, and release some real purpose and some plans and some destiny for your life during that time. And I really want to encourage you in the next few weeks on these Thursday nights, really set your calendar. This Thursday, Brad T. will be speaking. He's one of our favorites, one of our homegrown. I love our own people when they speak here on our Thursday nights. Come on, don't you love that? I love to see what the Lord is doing. A few months ago, I assembled all the people that communicate here on a Thursday night together, and we had 18 people that have been actively involved in the church here, speaking, teaching, preaching, and I just think that's really phenomenal. And they're all amazing, every one of them. But in a week from this coming Thursday, in the top five communicators in my life, Pastor Tim DeLena is that person. I met him the first time at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City, and I've been working to get him to come here. He couldn't make it on a Sunday, but he's going to come on a Thursday. That's the September 13th. I hope you can do whatever you need to do to arrange your schedule for that evening, to be here for that. It'll be an encouragement to you, and just it could be the change in somebody's life. He has just a incredible way of articulating God's word, and it'll be a blessing to you. And then the following Thursday, the 20th, our own Ryan will be ordained and installed here as associate pastor. So I hope you all can be here. I think that night we're all going to eat together afterwards. What do you think about that? So that'll be fun. So some great things coming up and some great things that have already happened. And thank you, Erin, for last Sunday sharing God's word. She just did an amazing job. Can we put our hands together for God working in her life? I have some prayer needs this morning. I want to just take just a moment, and I want to pray for these. Just a few minutes ago, my friend John DiMartino said his brother, Frank DiMartino, who he and his wife live in Arizona, have been here in the summer. They have family here. He was airlifted to the hospital with a possible heart attack. I want to pray for him. A pastor friend of ours who spoke here on a Thursday night, he's the president of Elam Fellowship, a good friend of ours, and Ryan's. He's been a mentor to my son. Pastor Chris Ball had open heart surgery on Friday. He's recovering. A few months ago, the gentleman that owns the restaurant in Batavia, the diner Settlers, the dad had passed away. They came in the morning, and he was found dead at the bottom of the stairs in that restaurant. I think he was 66 or 67. About 2 weeks ago, his son, John, and help me say the name again, Spyropoulos. Did I say it right? What? Spyropoulos. That was close enough. John. He had an aneurysm. He's 40 years old. Well, they took him to the hospital, and while he was there, something else happened where they had to do open-heart surgery on him. And I went down to see him this week and prayed for him. And I'm just believing God to do an incredible work in his life and in that whole family. And then I got a message yesterday. Our beautiful, sweet, precious Nancy and Roger Martin. Roger, 93? 91. And Nancy, 90. Nancy fell halfway down the stairs in their home. They sit right up in the back there, right behind the Toshers. She's at Strong Memorial right while we speak, right? Having a 6 to 7 hour surgery to repair some vertebrae that were hurt in her back. So I want to pray for all of them this morning. And if you have a need, just open your hand, open your heart up towards the Lord. Let's believe God. Father, I just want to say thank you today because you are more than enough. You are the God. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth thee. So, Lord, I pray for each one. Nancy, right now, even as she's in the hospital and the doctors are working on her, I pray for favor over her life, healing for John. Lord, work in his life, heal completely his body. Pastor Chris, Lord, continue to strengthen and heal his body. And Frank, right now, God, whatever it is that's taking place, bring help and health to all their flesh. I pray for their families as well, that you'd minister grace and strength to each one and peace today. And for those that are here this morning, Lord, someone that right now they're bringing to you, I just add my faith together with them and pray for whatever the need is, that you would meet that need. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God meets needs. Come on today. He really does. Well, I really felt at the time of the year that this is, I felt this for a few weeks, that I wanted to share with you this morning about strong families. This is the time of year when our kids are heading back to school. There's a lot of changes going on in families, and the dynamics that are just moving around bring to all of us, just a different season. Whether you have kids that are still in school or not, or you have grandkids, or maybe you have nieces, nephews, maybe you're an aunt or an uncle, a grandma, grandpa, in any sense of the term, we are in a new time, a new season, that, and it's very important for this season for us to focus on those things that create strong families. And I want to encourage you for that as well. It engages families together in a whole nother level. You may be at a stage of your life where you're thinking, well, that's not me anymore. It's you, because it doesn't just affect in the home. It affects in the house right here. Because there's kids that you're going to go by today while you're here that you might not even know. They may be looking at you. For some kids, it's a change of school. It's a new grade. Last Sunday, moving up Sunday, beautiful. I saw the pictures and everything, and I just know it was an incredible time. For some, it's kids that are going on to a new sport. For some, it's doing more in the sport that you're in. But it's an exciting, yet it's always a reflective time on how fast we see our families growing up. Our oldest son, Ben, when he was walking out the door in the first service, Patty looked over at me and says, that boy is growing up. And I thought for a minute, and I said, honey, he's not a boy anymore. He is grown up. He's a big boy. And life keeps moving at these giant leaps that sometimes they're hard to believe. And And this realization hits every single one of us that we have a window of time that God entrusts to you and I to make an impact on not only our family, our in our own home, but the family of God that is right in this house as well. So, because I say that, because nobody, you can be here and say, well, I'm single, I don't have any family. Yes, you do. You look around, you are part of the family of God. And Andy, I just want to say that song this morning, His Eyes on the Sparrow. When I was first saved, my girlfriend, who is my wife, and her mother used to sing that song together in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. And when I'd get discouraged, I'd say to her, honey, will you sing me that bird song? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. So whether you're a mom or dad, a grandma or a grandpa, an aunt or an uncle, single, God has given you and I an assignment to fulfill. Not only to receive, but to contribute to the sense of a strong family. And strong families, again, they don't just happen in our own home. They happen in the house of God as well. And you can learn some things not only from your own home, but from the house of God too. And I thank God for the house of God. And I know Aaron spoke on being planted in the house of the Lord last week. I thank God for the church and for the house of God and the people of God that have had that influence over my children's life all when they were growing up. Men and women prayed for them. They laid their hands on them. They encouraged them. They spoke life to them. And you and I need that in our homes. And today, as we start another new season, I just want to encourage you. I want to remind you. I want to renew something in you. I want to inspire you towards this, having a strong family. And remember, each one of you are important to this component. Every single one. Young, old, middle-aged, older, whoever you are, this is important to you. And I want to just give you a little bit of this blueprint into having strong families. Not all, but just a few. Number one, strong families, they live with a great sense of commitment. And commitment is seen different to some. And I know some people get nervous about it, but commitment not only means to be dedicated to a cause, but it also means having a restriction of the freedoms of the actions that we commit. This is so important. When I live with commitment, I'm not only dedicated to who and to what I'm committed to, but I also restrict the freedoms of what I think I can do. Some may think, well, you know, I don't like that word commitment. It just seems too confining. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, don't become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. Commitment always will bring a reward with it. Always. And maybe you're here today struggling with that thought today. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit. Commitment is an important component of a strong family. Second, strong families, they make plans together. I love this. In a survey of 1,500 children were asked, what makes families happy? 90% gave the same answer. It wasn't a big house. It wasn't lots of money. But it was doing things together. Everything together. Fun times. Tough times. Challenging times. Times when we laugh. Times when we weep. Times when we are strong, and times when we appear weak. Times when we seem to have enough, and times when we even struggle. Times of relaxing and times of working. And as we grow older, those expressions of time together change. Not that we have to have less time, but the way it looks changes. Now, instead of my children doing everything that I want them to do, because at one time they were all in our house, and if I said, okay, this is what we're going to do, we all did that. But now, for some reason, they had to all grow up, move out of the house, well, most of them all, get married, and think that they had to do what they want to do. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to do what we want to do anymore. You know what? When we all get together, or if we're going to go somewhere or do something, inevitably they will say to us, "What do you guys want to do?" Patty and I will look at one another and say, "We don't care." "Well, what do you want to eat?" "We don't care." "Does it look like I care what I eat?" Come on now. We do not care. Why? Because we want to be together. And we need to apply this in our home, but also in the church. And I love what Paul said in Romans 12. This is some good family scripture right here in Romans 12, 9. He said, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to the good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice." Let me just comment on that right there. When somebody persecutes you or tries to curse you and you bless them instead of returning a curse, when you have a heart, Paul says, to be a blessing, if someone tries to assault you with a curse or say something negative about you and you just declare, "I'm not going there," I pray blessing over them. Do you know when that curse comes out of their mouth and they throw it at you, it's like a boomerang. It bounces off of you and the very thing that came out of their mouth about you will come upon their life. Somebody needs to hear that today. You cannot go around speaking evil over other people. You must go around speaking blessing. You are called to be a blessing. He says, "Rejoice with those that rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Somebody say amen. Strong families make plans together. Oh, I could talk about this a long time, but I can't. I'm going to move on. Strong families learn to communicate. I say we must learn to stop and understand how to communicate one to the other and go to another level in that ability of communication. Because if we stay in the same place, if I communicated to my kids now the way I did when they were 10, 11, and 12, I would stay stagnated and there would be this block in our relationship and in our home. And I'd be wondering, why don't they listen to me when I tell them to do something? It's because they're in their 30s now and they don't have to. And Ryan's down here, big shot. "That's right, I don't have to." The reality of it is you don't. And so I learned to communicate in a whole better level. Strong families are held together by good communication. And communicating is discussing the burdens of your heart, opening the window of your soul at some times, and sharing your feelings, but never assaulting one another. Man, as my boys have gotten older, we've had some deep discussions that I never thought would be possible. But you know what? They've all been good. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt thing come out of your mouth." There that is again. Somebody needs to hear this today. Maybe your mouth is saying things that are only assaulting and hurting, and you're wondering why that's coming back to you. Paul says again, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Communication is learning how to listen as well. So listen, listen, listen. Proverbs 18:13, "If one gives an answer before he hears, it's a folly and a shame." You ever try to say something to somebody they want to hear what they say. Well, tell me how you feel. And you begin to tell them how they feel, and they can't stop talking long enough to hear what they have already just asked you to tell them. Did you unravel all that I just said right there? Communicating is learning how to listen. Proverbs 18:13, if one gives an answer before he hears it, is a folly and a shame. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. And you know what? You may have an opinion, but it may not be a good one. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Got to learn to communicate. And if you're going to learn to communicate, you got to learn to listen. Let me give you the 7 B's of a good listener. Number one, be observant. Listen with your eyes as much as your ears. When people are speaking, show them you're listening. I know I need more help with this. Albert Mouravian of UCLA, a noted researcher in communication, said that 7% of your true feelings are conveyed in words. Did you hear that? Only 7%. 38% by the way we say it, and 55% of what we say is conveyed through our body language. Nonverbal communication, facial expressions, posture, tone of voice. Be observant. If I was going to have Dan Huntington do this, nobody is more demonstrative than Dan Huntington. But I thought I would just explain this, show this. If I tell my wife, I love you, you catch that? You'd think, what's up with that? But if I look at her and say, baby, I really love you. I just wanted to know, honey. Okay, you get the picture right now? Be observant. The B's of good listening. Number one, be observant. Number two, be available. Communication is like fishing. It doesn't do much good to go when it's convenient to catch a fish. You have to go when they're biting. A lot of people are saying, why isn't so-and-so listening to me? Because you want it always on your terms, and it can't be that way. Be considerate. Be considerate to everybody that is in your life. Be demonstrative in your family. Talk. I'm talking physical. Hugs, kisses, pats. When I see my grandkids, I don't care if it's Gabe, who I got to look up to, or Andrew. I'm going to hug them. I'm going to kiss them. I'm going to squeeze them, because that's who we are. We do that in the home. You got a number 5. Be wise. Learn to attack the problem, not the person. Number 6, be an example. Philippians 3:17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to example to the example you have in us. Be an example. And number 7, be courageous in your listening and in your communication. Joshua 1:9, I love these scriptures. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not given you the spirit of God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love and a power and a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith. Act like men and be strong. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait on the Lord. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And some of you need to have a conversation, and you need to be observant. You need to listen. Number 4, strong families, they solve problems together, not separate. They always see the big picture. Listen, you're going to be married a long time. Some of you younger people that are just married, you think, you know, you've been through this or that. Wait till you get 20, 30, and 40 years under your belt. But there's a bigger picture to see. And don't think that families that break up because they had problems and that's why they didn't stay together. All families have problems. Breakups have to do with dealing with the problems that arise. This isn't condemning to anyone that has gone through this, but listen, because every family has problems, and if divorces were caused by problems, we would all be divorced. Every one of us. Because every family has problems. Everyone. And we've got to learn to attack the problems together instead of attacking each other. You got to learn to work it out. You got to learn to solve the problem together. Two are better than one. They have a better return for their labor. And a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Be committed to working it out. You know, the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Guy said to me one time, did you and your wife ever have an argument at night and, you know, work it out before you went to bed? I said, we had a lot of arguments at night. Well, what'd you do? We just stayed up all night and just fought it through. We let the sun go down and we just stayed up fighting it through. Some of you need to work on that in your life. You know, there's rules of engagement and warfare and fighting. Only, you know, just brutally people cross that line. But, you know, we've got rules in our home. You know, if my wife and I get in a disagreement, sooner or later she always finds out she's wrong. No, that's just a joke. It's just a joke. I'm the one that's wrong. Sooner or later I discover I'm wrong. Well, I'm committed to working it out. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going anywhere. And last, strong families. They keep God first. They make him first place in their life. And that doesn't mean that you go follow him and you leave your family behind. Listen, I'm going to tell you something very important. Because I've had people say, well, you know what? God called me to leave my family and go serve him. Well, let me present this to you. The Bible tells us to care for our families, to give our parents honor, priority, raise our children to be Christ followers, give our spouses special consideration, but we're also to follow Christ. And so when we're faced with a choice due to time, resources, or an expense, you know, an attention span, how do we concentrate our energy? What do? Jesus practiced the priorities that he taught without question. He put his Father first in everything. But in doing so, he did not neglect his parents, even at the age of 12. He kept both his priorities in balance. Even in Luke chapter 2, with one of his dying breaths, he cared for his mother. In Luke chapter 19, rather. To Jesus, the way of seeing priorities in the proper perspective was that he would balance them and give them the proper harmony and proportion and perspective that they needed. Several New Testament passages, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you. Matthew 22, an expert of the law tested Jesus with the question, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? It was responded, he said, Jesus replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. And then he said, the second is like the first, to love your neighbor as you love you. Because you can't separate the two. Paul wrote to Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his own family, he is worse than an infidel. He is worse than an unbeliever. And he's denied the faith. God's intention is neither that in loving him we are to ignore our families, or that in loving our families we are to ignore God. This is so good. God's intention is that we are to love our families as a result of loving God. We don't put God over here and put our families over here. We don't leave the house and say, well, I'm going to go to church. I'll see you later. We all go. I've had to drug my kids to get them to come to church. I drugged them. Come on, let's go as a little boy. Not for very long. No, really. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. And the kind of obedience that God puts, he puts them first, means putting family and others first. We love our family. We love God. We don't separate it. We cannot properly put God first without putting our families above ourselves. And putting our families above ourselves is the only way that we demonstrate that we put God above ourselves. Most of the time, God will not ask you to choose between him and your family. But he'll ask you to love him by loving your family. And to love a family is a result of loving God. Amen. Strong family. Come on, if you're going to clap for him, don't mess around this morning. Strong families. This is a great blueprint for us to go into a new season. Instead of you just going around and around and around, if you'll adhere to the principles and the practices that God has called you and I to, you may be sitting there and say, yeah, but you don't know where I am. You're right. But you don't know where I've been either. And I can tell you verbatim today that with God on our side, he can change your circumstances. He can change your future. He can brighten the outlook of the future of your life. And he can make all things brand new. He can cause a husband that is disgusted with his wife to love her all over again. He can cause a wife who is upset at the husband to love him all over again. He can bring children that are away from him and bring them into the kingdom of our God. This is a season, this is a moment in a time where God is raising up great families, strong families that will live for him and serve him for generations yet to come. Praise God. Put your hands together for the Lord one more time and for strong families. Close your eyes with me just for a moment. Those that are going to pray, make your way to the altar. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, you're in trouble already. You can't make this work. You'll run up against obstacles. He wants to help you. Jesus has come to the world to seek and to save the lost, help you, to illuminate. The Bible says he's a light into our path. He'll show you the way. If you're anything like me, growing up, what a dysfunctional home and family I was raised in. If I think about it long, it just brings heartache to me. But I thank God for how he has helped me, led me. He wants to do that with some here today. Some things that are just the word that comes to me, they're constricting the flow of love and grace into your life, into your family. He wants to move those out of the way. You need to give him your life. For some of you dads, you need to rededicate, reorder your priorities to God so that your children can see the relationship in you and follow him. Spirit of the living God, we yield our lives, our futures, our hope, our purpose, our plan to you today. From youngest to oldest here, I pray that you will invade every life. Oh, we yield our hearts to you right now. Have your way. For that one that does not know you, I pray, God, they will surrender their lives to you today. For the dad who has just been off and struggling, I pray that you work in his heart. To mom, To a mom that's been struggling. To that person who is dealing with addictive challenges. I pray for strength to be upon their lives. I pray for peace to be upon their lives today. I pray favor and life over every person here. I pray for families to be strong. I pray that where the enemy has had a plan to bring division and destruction, it will be stopped, even as I speak now in Jesus' name. And let the grace of our God be the portion of every life here today. I ask in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you. I thank God for you. You're beautiful. If you need prayer, don't you leave. Come on down. Nobody, you don't have to even tell anybody what you just come down and say, I just need prayer. If you want to give your life, or if you did, even while I was speaking, give your life to Christ, come down. Tell one of these folks. They want to give you a Bible, help you to move in the right direction. Go in His grace. Enjoy the rest of the day. I hope you have a day off tomorrow. Enjoy. I love you. Go in His grace.